You may be seated. Well, it's my privilege to introduce our guest speaker today. Individuals, a lot of you know, he grew up here in Corpus Christi and is an alumni of St. James. As I look down at these little ones here, I can't imagine Big Clint being right down here in the first row. But he graduated from St. James and went on to Ray High School and then on to TCU. And he spent 6 years in the NFL playing football. He went to 2 Super Bowls. He has been a teacher of young life. He describes himself as a lover of life, a lover of Jesus. He loves to walk alongside people as they pursue their calling in life. He was baptized in the Jordan River and was also a former punk rock band drummer and claims to be a recovering perfectionist. Clint is married to Maddie, and they and their dog Bear are living in Dallas, Texas right now, and we are honored to have him back here at St. James, sharing his story with us. Please welcome Clint Gresham.
It's an honor to be with you guys today. It wasn't that long ago that I was sitting right there where you guys are. Before I get started here, hold on 1 second. What? All of you think that cigarettes kill people? Well, did you know that the number of people dying from diabetes every year is 10 times the amount of people dying from lung cancer? But if I were to come up here with a Snickers bar, nobody would have said anything. And did you know that the number one indicator of lung cancer is not actually cigarettes? It's your DNA. You could smoke for years from a very early age and never have any negative health consequences. In fact, much of the cutting-edge research regarding cigarettes is actually pointing to some considerable health benefits. Family, fellow St. James Jaguars, I use this argument I just presented to you today, even though I completely made it up and it's not true. Okay, let's just get set that straight. That's not true. To a few of my friends. The result was that 5 of them believed what I said, and 2 of them started smoking. Even though what I said was a lie. You see, words that are said and articulated in the right way can change someone's mind. They can alter someone's belief. Simply put, words can cause someone's life to go in a different direction. You have the power to bring someone from the slums of existence and turn them into something incredible, or destroy someone's soul using only your words. Solomon in the book of Proverbs said that death and life are in the power of the tongue. We always hear people quote the old adage, "Sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me," not realizing that that's a lie. Better said, sticks and stones may break your bones, but words can kill you. If we want to be the kind of people our world desperately needs, we must be the kind who choose to use our words to build. If we want to be a part of the beautiful change on the earth, it is going to require us not speaking into the negative self-talk people are already hearing in their mind. It doesn't take any strength to fillet someone with your words. Real power comes when you choose to speak life into the midst of someone's darkened soul. My senior year at TCU, I was the only long snapper invited to the NFL Scouting Combine. The NFL Scouting Combine is basically this 4-day intensive job interview where all 32 teams are there and you're just trying to see who's going to pick you. And so because I was the only guy that was invited, I was assuming that I was going to be drafted. And if you don't get drafted, you go into what's called free agency, which means that if there's 10 teams who are interested in you, and you pick one, and you pick wrong, and that team cuts you, those other 9 teams have moved on. So it's pretty risky when you go into free agency. It's much more simple to realize, oh yeah, okay, I got drafted. That was obviously the team that God wanted me to go to. And so when I go to the combine, I have this great experience there. My dream when I was in high school was to play for the Houston Texans. Obviously so close to Corpus. High school mascot was the Texan because in Texas we're narcissistic like that. Doesn't really work well for the Rhode Islanders, you know? And so I had this great experience there, and the special teams coach for the Texans is like, you're the best guy we've seen in years, we're going to draft you, it's going to be awesome, you're going to come here and play for 25 years, it's going to be great. And so once the draft happened, I'm sitting there on my couch and I'm watching TV, the first through the fifth round is over, and I was expecting to get a call from the Texans in about the fifth round. And I'm sitting there watching TV, and there's a guy named Mel Kiper who is like the draft expert, and he's on every single year, and he's telling all people who the best people available are. And all of a sudden, I see my picture flash up on ESPN, on TV, and it says, the best pick available is Clint Gresham, long snapper from TCU. And I'm sitting there thinking, like, you know, best pick available, you know, long snapper. That's like saying, out of all the hobbits in the world, he's the tallest. But I appreciate it. So I'm sitting there, like, seeing this happen, and all of a sudden I look down at my phone, and I get a call from a Houston area code, and, like, my heart is just pounding. So I pick up the phone, and it's the special teams coach, and he goes, Clint, I just wanted to call and let you know that we're not going to be drafting. I'm like, thanks for the call. We're going to be drafting somebody else, but we would like for you to sign as a free agent, which is exactly what I didn't want to do. So I hung up the phone with him, and I'm feeling frustrated because I did one of those things where we kind of assume we know what God is going to do. Like, think, oh yeah, so A and B happened, obviously C is going to happen, not realizing that I've yielded my life to God, and he's the one that makes decisions for me now. And so the fifth round ends, the sixth round ends, the seventh round ends, and now all of a sudden, I'm a free agent, not where I wanted to be. And I ended up getting a call from four other teams. I got calls from the Dolphins, the Saints, the Chiefs, the Ravens, and then the Texans. The Texans were offering me the equivalent of a seventh round signing bonus, which as a 23-year-old kid is like more money than God. And they were saying that you are going to be our guy, we're not bringing anybody else in. I mean, it was my dream, it was everything that I wanted. I mean, everything that I saw in the natural seemed like Houston was where I was supposed to go. But something didn't feel right. And it's the more that I prayed about it, the more that I actually spent time with God, asking him, God, where do you want me to go? Because the last thing I want to do is go somewhere because I think that that's the right thing and not realize that God's not blessing that. And so I'm on the phone with a mentor of mine, and we're praying and we're trying to discern, what do I do now, God? Because the Bible says that if anyone lacks wisdom, we can ask of him, who gives liberally to all without reproach. And so we're on the phone, and I hear this statement in my mind, and I believe it was the Holy Spirit, and it was, who's the only team in the nation whose name points to me? And I've got these five teams, and I'm trying to discern, where am I supposed to go? And I thought about it for a second. I said, well, I know it's not the Patriots. You guys don't get that because I played at Super Bowl 49 and we threw the ball on the 1 yard line and got picked off and lost Super Bowl 49 because of that. So I'm still bitter at the Patriots. And that they won another Super Bowl. Okay, we get it already. So I'm sitting there thinking about that and I realize I feel like the Lord is saying, I want you to go to New Orleans, to the Saints. And I realize that that's kind of this weird, peculiar play on words, but if you read through Scripture, God has done weirder stuff in the Bible that ended up working out in the favor for the people who did that. And so I call up this coach for the Texans, and I tell him, you know, what do you say? Hey, I prayed. I don't feel like I'm supposed to go to your team. Not a really engaging conversation. He was not impressed with that. And so I end up going to New Orleans, and it was one of the darkest experiences of my life. It literally felt like I was walking through hell. I felt so alone, so isolated. I was competing with a guy who was 38 years old. They had just won the Super Bowl. I mean, in actuality, if you look at it in the natural, it didn't make any sense. Everybody thought I was out of my mind. My agent thought I was crazy. My family thought I was crazy. But I felt like this is what God wanted me to do. So I'd rather obey and do what God says to do than go off on my own. Because God doesn't bless things that when we go out on our own. He blesses And so after 3 months of being there in New Orleans, we started training camp. And the very first day of training camp, I get a knock on my door. And it's one of the scouts. And I didn't know at the time that that's actually not a good thing when a scout comes and knocks on your door. And so he knocks on the door and he's like, "Hey, Coach Sean Payton, he wants to talk to you this morning." So I'm like, okay, good. I actually had some thoughts for Drew Brees and his throwing mechanics. I just needed to want to pass that on to him, my analysis of that. And so I go down and I sit down with the head coach of the New Orleans Saints, and he says to me, "Clint, we just signed our first round draft pick, and we're going to have to let you go. We don't have enough room on our roster." And I kind of chuckled. I'm like, no, you see, God told me to be here. Like, God said, this is the spot I'm supposed to be. Like, get behind me, Satan. Like, you're off your rocker. You don't know what you're talking about, man. So that went over well. And I quickly got into my car, and I'm driving back home, and I'm thinking to myself, God, I sacrificed my dream. I had a guarantee. I was going to make way more money in Houston. I was going to be close to my family. I'd wanted to do this for 10 years to play for this team. And I stepped out in faith and did what you told me to do. And now I'm unemployed and that team has moved on. And now I don't have a job. So I'm sitting there thinking, like, what am I going to do now? I thought to myself, I could go back to parking cars. I worked valet when I was in college. I could make at least 10 bucks an hour doing that. I get home. 24 hours later, I get a call from the Seahawks. And they say, "Clint, we have a first-class flight for you coming up to Seattle tonight at 10 o'clock for practice tomorrow morning. Can you be there?" I'm like, "Well, I got this car parking thing going on. I'm a little busy right now. I parked a Dodge Stratus the other day, so get off my back. I'm a little busy." And so I go and I get on this flight. I fly out to Seattle. Pete Carroll's son picks me up at the airport. He gets in the car. We're driving. It's probably 12:30 at night back to the hotel. And I'd wanted to play for Pete Carroll since I was in high school. I mean, when I was in high school, they were at SC. They were winning all these national championships. And so I'm driving to the hotel, and his son picks up the phone, and he goes, "Hey, Dad, how's it going?" And I'm like, "Oh, my gosh, Pete Carroll's on the line." And he hands the phone to me, and it's Pete Carroll, you know, at 12:30. Like, we got practice the next morning at 7 a.m. It's like, "Hey, Clint, we're so happy that you're on the team. We can't wait for you to come out and compete with us. It's going to be a great experience." I end up making that team. We end up being the only team in NFL history to win our division with a losing record. Like, that alone is the favor of God. I don't know how that happened. It's never been done before, and it hasn't been done since. And the team that we beat in the very first round of the playoffs was the team that cut me, the New Orleans Saints. Because the Bible says, "Vengeance is mine," says the Lord. Like, you don't have to go out and try and get vengeance yourself. God will take care of it if you just do what he said to do. And I think about my life and where it's been since then. Thank God I wasn't living in New Orleans. I met my wife. I met the best friends that I've ever had. I played in 2 Super Bowl games. I played in enough playoff games to be its own NFL season. Because it all goes back to this time when I'm on the phone with a mentor who gave me words. His words gave me the strength to be able to step out in faith and trust this obscure word from God that didn't make any sense in the natural. Had I not had those words, I don't know where I would be. There's one particular woman who has had a massive influence in my wife's journey with God. Over the last couple of years, we've had the honor of getting to meet some pretty influential people within the body of Christ. And about a year ago, I was speaking at this one particular church, and the pastor and his wife invited us to go out to lunch afterwards. And so we're sitting there, and the wife of the pastor asked my wife kind of what her story is, how she came to know the Lord. So my wife started to share about how, man, there was this one woman that just really changed my life. I was listening to tons of audio teachings of her. The wife, her eyes just totally light up. She's like, "Oh my gosh, I know that woman. Why don't we take a video of you telling her how great she is, and then we'll just send it to her?" My wife's like, my wife's just so cool. She's like, "That's kind of weird. She has no idea who I am, just getting this random video by text." But that lady was really excited, and so she reluctantly went along with it, and we didn't hear anything back. Another couple of months go by, And we're kind of in the same situation. I'm speaking at this church, and we didn't get invited out to lunch. And we're sitting there, and inevitably, the wife of the pastor asked my wife what her story is. And my wife mentions this woman. She had such an influence on my life. And this lady's eyes light up again, just like the first time. She's like, oh my God, I know her. Why don't we send a video of you saying hi to her? And my wife's like, I already tried this. Like, this didn't work last time. Yet again, you are so excited. And I'm not really sure how to tell you no, but I guess we'll go along with it because you obviously know her better than I do. So they take this video, and it's really uncomfortable. And then we send it to her, and yet again, we don't hear anything back. I'm starting to wonder, like, is this even, do you really know her? I don't think so. Another couple of months go by, and we find out that this woman is actually speaking in the town that my wife was in at the time. And so my wife's like, I want to go out there and listen to her talk. So she goes and rededicates her life to the Lord and has this massive experience with God. I mean, this woman is just such an incredible communicator. And afterwards, she was interacting with people, and so my wife got in line to go say hello to her. And as she's waiting there in line, she walks up to her, shakes her hand, and this woman recognizes her. And my wife responds, I'm not really sure why these women wanted to send these videos of me to you. And this woman cuts my wife off and says, what are you, a stalker or something? And like, it's kind of funny, but in that moment, when you're facing your hero, somebody who has had such an impact on your life and where you're going, to make an accusation like that, what are you, a stalker? Shot a barb through my wife's heart. It was a crushing blow. In a sense, she walked up to her and handed her this revolver and was like, I trust you that you're going to do the right thing with this. And with just a couple of flippant words, blows her away. Solomon was right when he said that death and life are in the power of the tongue. When I think back on my life and where God has taken me, had it not been for the words of the Spirit of God and from people who loved me unconditionally, I don't know where I would be. When I think back on these two individuals, one who spoke in such a way that released faith and courage and esteem, the other who flippantly threw out this barb that damaged a soul, I'm reminded of what Jesus said in the book of Matthew when he said that one day all of us are going to stand before God and give an account of everything we ever said. Yikes. Oh my gosh. If we have high hopes of that meeting going well, we have to make the decision today to use our words to build. The greatest principle I've learned in my life since being a young person sitting right here is the power of our words. I had people who spoke words of life over me and people who spoke words of defeat. My freshman year at the University of Oklahoma, I had a coach approach me and tell me, you will never play professional football. But despite his words, I went on to play for the Seattle Seahawks for 6 years and played in 2 Super Bowl games. But I'm not here today because I'm so great. The only reason I'm here today is because the people around me were great and they chose to speak in such a way which offset the words of powerful but misguided individuals and my own negative self-talk. And how many of you can agree that all of us hear some stuff in our head that is not exactly beneficial to where we want to go in life? Great, I'm the only one. I feel super exposed right now. For the rest of us, who have these thoughts of self-defeat, who aren't really sure if they measure up, I've realized the power of self-talk and have resources here that can equip you to experience the peace and the joy that Jesus paid for. Friends, the way that we speak to others will either breathe life into a heart or smother it. The beautiful thing about it is that we get to decide who we want to be. You see, words have power. Words are power. Words can be your power, however you choose. You can choose to replicate the pain, insecurity, or fear in you Or you can choose to speak in such a way that releases people into their destiny. Isn't that what we all want? To create a better world around us. Our mouth can spit venom, or it can mend a heart. These cigarettes here, these will kill you. But the words that come out of your mouth are just as deadly. Family, I plead with you today to be men and women who choose to use their words for good. To be the ones who represent a good, good father to a hurting and broken world. And by choosing to speak life, we're choosing to change our world. God bless you. Go Jaguars. Thanks for your time.